The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in His image and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
So last week we started talking about the constitutional amendments and actually applying biblical principles to government and to these constitutional amendments. It is important to apply those biblical principles to every area of life, including our home, including our individual life, our family, our church, and our city, states, and nations. And it's especially important to apply biblical principles to the Constitution, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So our Florida Constitution is subordinate only to the U.S. Constitution, which is subordinate only to God's commandments. So even if the Constitution violates God's commandments, we know that we do have a God in heaven that does judge, He does see, He does hear, and He will actually render His judgment and bring nations that violate His commandments into subjection. And last week we did cover Amendment 1. We also covered Amendment 2. And I'll go over what my recommendations were for each of those. But to get the actual analysis, you'll need to watch last Sunday's sermon. And you can do that at our church website, covenanttabernacle.com. You can go to our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. So just to remind you, first of all, this is for these amendments will be voted on by Florida voters in the general election. So if you vote by mail, you'll be voting or have the opportunity to vote on these amendments. If you vote early, you'll have the opportunity to vote on these amendments. If you vote in person, you will have the opportunity to vote in person on the day of election. You'll have the opportunity to vote on these amendments. These amendments do require a supermajority, or they actually require 60% to actually pass. So 50% plus is not good enough. It has to be more than 60%. What we're going to do today, we will look at the proposed constitutional amendments to the Florida Constitution. We are going to, at some point, maybe next week, cover a county referendum also dealing with sales tax for schools. We also will, with each of these, we'll include the title and language that will appear on your ballot. We'll include, if it is presented, the financial impact statement of the proposed amendment. And we'll also present a nonpartisan view of what a yes or no vote means. And that comes from the James Madison Institute's Amendment Guide. And we will actually include a link to that amendment guide on our website under this sermon, as well as last week's, and on our YouTube channel as well. So one of the things that we do want to, we will also present a nonpartisan view of what a yes or no vote means. In addition to that, we will look at whether the proposed amendment can be addressed without a constitutional amendment. In other words, can the legislature address it? And if they can, in most cases, we should not muddy up the the Constitution. We should allow the legislature to do the work that the legislature that we have elected them to do. And we should lobby them. If you want a certain proposal done, you should lobby them for that. If you don't want a certain proposal, you should lobby them against that. In very few cases, should we actually pass or vote yes on a proposed constitutional amendment that does not require a constitutional amendment to be enacted. So where possible, we're going to apply biblical principles to the proposed amendments. I can tell you the ones we're going over today, there's a lot that we can apply from the Bible. We also will quote from the founding fathers, even sometimes we'll quote from the founding documents. And we will provide, I'll provide my recommendation on each amendment. Now, my recommendation on Amendment 1 was a no vote. So, and again, you can get the reasoning for that in last Sunday's sermon. My recommendation on Amendment 2 is a yes vote. And that is one that is, I was torn. My notes actually originally said vote no. But it was one that there are a few different viewpoints on it. It is not one that there's a strong biblical principle one way or the other on. So you can really vote whichever way you believe would be the best to vote on that. So we're going to start today looking at Amendment 3. So this is adult personal use of marijuana. Now we know that we already did pass a medical marijuana amendment. This is not medical. This is just anyone that wants to go out and use it. Anyone that wants to get high or get stoned can actually go out and buy it and use it. So the language is, this allows adults 21 years or older to possess, purchase, and use marijuana products and marijuana accessories for non-medical personal consumption by smoking, ingesting, or otherwise, allows medical marijuana treatment centers and other state-licensed entities to acquire, cultivate, possess, manufacture, sell, and distribute such products and accessories. Applies to Florida law, does not change or immunize violation of federal law, establishes possession limits for personal use, allows consistent legislation, defines terms, provides effective date. So that's the ballot summary. Here's the financial impact. The amendment's financial impact primarily comes from the expected sales tax collections. If legal today, sales of non-medical marijuana would be subject to sales tax and would remain so if voters approve this amendment. Based on other states' experiences, expected sales tax for non-medical marijuana would generate at least $195.6 million annually in state and local sales tax revenue once the retail market is fully operational, although the timing of this occurring is unclear. Under current law, the existing statutory framework for medical marijuana is repealed 6 months after the effective date of this amendment, which affects how this amendment will be implemented. A new regulation structure for both medical and non-medical use of marijuana will be needed. Its design cannot be fully known until the legislature acts. However, regulatory cost will probably be offset by regulatory fees. Other potential costs and savings cannot be predicted. This proposed constitutional amendment is estimated to have a net positive impact on the state's budget. The impact may result in generating additional revenue or an increase in government services. So how the amendment reached the ballot with a citizen initiative, heavily funded by those who own the marijuana businesses and will profit from that. So what your vote means, a yes vote on this amendment, a yes vote would legalize marijuana consumption in the state of Florida for non-medical purposes, including recreation. This proposed amendment enables personal consumption and private cultivation of marijuana for sale, requiring a state license to do so. It allows those 21 years or older to purchase and consume cannabis without a doctor's recommendation. The proposal would also remove criminal or civil penalties for adults over 21 who possess and use up to 3 ounces of cannabis for personal use, and allow marijuana dispensaries and other state licensed entities to acquire, cultivate, possess, manufacture, sell, and distribute cannabis products and accessories. A no vote on this amendment retains the current marijuana law for this state, which allows for the consumption and sale for medical purposes only. So the pros of this constitutional amendment, the legislation legalizing marijuana recreationally gives citizens a new right enshrined in the state constitution. Further, marijuana businesses and increased sales from a new recreational market would significantly add to tax revenues. Such revenues could be used to fund a variety of other initiatives that benefit Floridians. The cons to this are that opponents contend that recreational marijuana will reduce overall productivity in the classroom and workplace, and that it will put Florida law at odds with federal law where recreational marijuana is illegal. Legalizing marijuana could lead to greater drug use in Florida, exacerbating the public cost of drug-related problems such as automobile accidents, criminal activity, and fatalities. So the constitutional merit, this measure can be enacted by the Florida legislature. It does not require a state constitutional amendment to address this issue. In sum, the Florida Constitution currently allows marijuana consumption and sale for medical purposes only, typically for as a treatment for chronic illness. I will say that is what the amendment guide says. That's not really what's happening. There are a lot of people that do get medical marijuana currently that aren't that don't have chronic illnesses. So that's, I believe, an inaccurate statement there. But that is what the James Madison Institute wrote. While recreational legislation could create substantial tax benefits, the cost should be weighed against the possible public health problems and costs such a measure may exacerbate. If the amendment passes, it will go into effect 6 months after the election. So here's some biblical principles on this. We don't really have drugs mentioned in the Bible per se, but we do have alcohol mentioned in the Bible, and we can draw a lot. There's a lot of similarities, and we can draw a lot from this. First of all, we need to see that the Bible actually prohibits drunkenness. It doesn't prohibit drinking, but it does prohibit drunkenness. So when we look at Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21, we see that drunkenness is actually listed as one of the works of the flesh that we should not engage in. We also see that there are many consequences from drinking. In Proverbs has a lot to say about drinking, and chapter 23 really covers drinking quite a bit. And one of the things it talks about is the consequences of drinking. and how the person that drinks actually has bad things happen to them, but doesn't really realize that those bad things are happening to them because his mind has been altered or her mind has been altered. And he's actually not realizing. And when he awakes, he's going to seek another drink. And Solomon warned his son time and time again in the book of Proverbs against drunkenness. We also see that the priests were actually prohibited from drinking alcohol because God wanted them to be able to judge properly. They were also judges. They needed to discern God's commandments, and they needed to be able to actually judge properly and effectively. One of the things that we see again in the Bible prohibits drunkenness. The Bible does not prohibit drinking and does not prohibit the possession of alcohol or even the production of alcohol or even the sale of alcohol. So we could look at that and say, well, drugs could be, we could actually legalize the sale of drugs. One problem with that is that in our current system, our current judicial system, we don't hold people accountable for their actions if they're drunk, if they're using drugs. So really, we would need to actually start holding people accountable for their actions before pushing anything like this. Also, again, remember that this can be done legislatively. There's no need to actually pass a constitutional amendment for this. Our founding fathers, I think, would be beside themselves to think that there would be a constitutional amendment to get stoned. I'm going to recommend voting no on Amendment 3. The next amendment is one that is very sneaky and very tricky. It is Amendment 4, amendment to limit government interference with abortion. The ballot language is this: no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health, as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. The proposed amendment would result in significantly more abortions and fewer live births per year in Florida. The increase in abortion could be even greater, if the amendment invalidates laws requiring parental consent before minors undergo abortions and those ensuring only licensed physicians perform abortions. There is also uncertainty about whether the amendment will require the state to subsidize abortions with public funds. Litigation to resolve those and other uncertainties will result in additional costs to the state government and state courts that will negatively impact the state's budget. An increase in abortion will negatively affect the growth of state and local revenue over time. Because the physical impact of increased abortions on state and local revenues and costs cannot be estimated with precision, the total impact of the proposed amendment is indeterminable. The financial impact of this amendment cannot be determined due to the ambiguities and uncertainty surrounding the amendment's impact. This got on the ballot by a citizen initiative. It was bankrolled, I can tell you this, was bankrolled by Planned Parenthood, by the ACLU, and by George Soros. A yes vote would legalize abortion in the state of Florida before the period of fetal viability or when a healthcare provider deems it necessary for the safety of a mother. Fetal viability, and when a baby is estimated to be able to arrive outside of a mother's uterus, is generally assumed among health professionals to be around 24 weeks into pregnancy. However, because the ballot language does not clearly define when fetal viability is, it is open for interpretation and legal ambiguity. A no vote would keep in place the state's current abortion law. They do actually state here, the James Madison states that that is a six-week abortion ban, that there's no abortions after 6 weeks. I can tell you that's not accurate, and I'll expound on that in just a little bit. The pros for this amendment: supporters argue that such a ballot measure is crucial to guarantee Floridians' right to an abortion, as state amendments are far more difficult to overturn than legislature's decision on the matter. Limited abortion access is currently offered to Floridians, but many supporters of this amendment see its passage as a way to expand and protect that right. The cons: opponents of this measure argue that it is not necessary to enshrine any right to abortion in the state constitution, since the state legislature has the ability to vote and regulate the procedure without the necessity of a constitutional amendment. Additionally, the point of fetal viability varies by patient, likely setting the groundwork for future controversy. Further, this amendment would also allow abortion to protect a pregnant mother's health as determined by a healthcare provider without any restriction on when that determination could occur. In sum, if the measure passes, it would overturn Florida's six-week abortion ban and replace it with legalized abortion up to fetal viability and to protect the patient's health, neither of which are defined in the ballot language. So we're going to look, first of all, and by the way, we have extensively covered this proposed amendment in past sermons. You can get those and watch those on our church website, CovenantTabernacle.com. Again, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, and our church YouTube channel. I will tell you that some of the James Madison summary here is inadequate. And I will also tell you that this amendment is a very sneaky amendment. The title is sneaky. The language is sneaky. Their advertising is sneaky and actually deceptive and lies. I've seen two of their ads, and I can tell you that they lie. Almost really, if not every point, almost every point in their ad is an actual lie. And one of the things that they're saying is that, you know, you can't get an abortion in the state of Florida beyond 6 weeks, which is actually not true. They also say that there's no exception for rape, incest, or life of the mother, which is also not true. The current law actually prohibits abortion after 6 weeks unless there's rape, incest, or human trafficking involved. It actually allows abortion all the way through 15 weeks, and to protect not only the life of the mother, but also the health of the mother, which, by the way, there's never a reason that's necessary to slice a baby's arms and legs off, crush her skull, and there's never a necessity to do that to save a mother's life. But that six-week ban actually allows abortion through the end of the second trimester. So all the way through 6 months gestation, a doctor can actually determine that a woman's health requires him to slice a baby's arms and legs off and crush that baby's skull, and that's legal under the current law. So that is something that their ads do not show and do not accurately represent. By the way, the Bible says that we don't punish children for the sins of their fathers. And that's when we talk about rape and incest exceptions, that's what we're doing. And we used to punish the rapists. We used to, in fact, put the rapist to death or put them in prison for life. in all 50 states. The penalty, if we go back 70 years, the penalty for rape was either life in prison or death. Yet today we send them to prison for a few years. We execute the child. We release the rapist so that very often they go out and actually recommit the rape. In some cases, the rapist is actually the father, and the abortion actually covers up the rape. And so he's able to continue to rape his daughter without it even being known that this is happening. And abortion helps cover up the rape and the actual human trafficking and the incest that is happening. And really what we should do, if a father is raping his daughter, we should actually prosecute that father to the fullest extent that we can do so in the law. One of the things that we need to do, and we will cover this and we'll go over this more in a future video, a future sermon, but I'm going to encourage you to vote no, even if you reject the biblical principle that God is the creator of human life and that every innocent human life should be protected. This amendment would allow abortion all the way to the moment of birth. By the way, a healthcare provider is not defined. And so it really could be the receptionist at the abortion clinic. It certainly could be the abortionist himself or herself. And there's no requirement in this amendment for a doctor to perform an abortion. So abortions could actually be less safe for the mother as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in his image and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
There is a fire within me, and it burns for all to see. The flame is the love of Jesus. Step out of the darkness and walk in the light. There is a fire within you, and it burns for all to see. The flame is the grace and goodness of the Lord. Step out of the darkness and walk in the light. As you walk through this life, walk with God. Walk in the light. And there is a fire within us, and it burns for all to see. The flame is the living Spirit of the Lord. Step